Jeremy Langill, Ward 5. I'm also the executive minister for the State Council of Churches. So I can tell you, we definitely oppose this legislation, this ordinance as it's currently written. However, I do appreciate your comments about needing to include a broad spectrum of people. Please add the religious community to your list of people who need to be involved. The Council of Churches was the lead plaintiff that sued over SNAP benefits back in October. We were joined, of course, by many cities and so forth, and the United Way, and on and on and on. So this is an issue that is deeply important to us. This winter, the Council of Churches opened up 100 beds in three of our churches in Providence for folks who had nowhere to go. The condition was we opened at 22 degrees real feel. We were open for 50 nights. And we had more people than we had space for. So my advice to you, this is a systemic concern. The state has no resources. I can tell you now that the urban core has no resources. So when we take down encampments, and I understand all the technical language, and I understand the concerns of mayors and so forth, there's nowhere to go. There's just nowhere to go. I'm telling you this because I spend a lot of time working on this. So please include us. I'm happy to help us meet all of our needs. Not only because I live here, but because I spend a lot of time not usually here in other places. And I don't want us to become a community that goes down a path that we don't want to be known for the community that does this. So please reach, Ed knows how to get a hold of me. I'll call him. You can reach me out. I think we can find a path forward, but just loop in a faith community because we're here to be a part of that solution. Okay? Thanks.
Thank you.
What was your name, by the way? Sorry.
Jeremy Langill, Ward 5.
Any other questions or comments from members of the public that wish to be heard? Okay. Seeing none, I would probably suggest this be held not to the next meeting, but perhaps the following, to allow for some time for this discussion to go on. So if there
Mr. Chairman?
Councilman Lavser.
Just a reminder, in May, we have a pretty packed agenda with budget hearings, et cetera. So I would respectfully suggest maybe hold till July or, June sometime. But May is pretty packed, just my observation.
Yep, fair. Perhaps June 15. If there's a motion to hold till June 15, I think that's more than ample time to get a conversation rolling. Do I have a motion?
Move to hold until June
15. Okay.
Second.
And all in favor?
Aye.
4-0, hold till June 15th. Okay, seeing no further business in front of this committee, it is 8:25 and we stand adjourned.
That concludes committees. Could we please reconvene in the council?
All right, so we'll return to the full council as of 8:29 p.m. Which brings us back to specifically the consent calendar. So PCR 34-26, resolution relative to bids. This is Finance, Councilman Lattiser.
Committee recommends favorable action on PCR 34-26.
For action, Councilman Lattiser.
Move favorable action on PCR 34-26.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. Are there any questions regarding, and there were two items removed, correct?
That's correct.
All right, are there any questions regarding the remaining items left on PCR 34-26? All right, and that concludes the consent calendar for this meeting. So I guess, does anyone have any questions regarding the consent calendar? I I know the answer is probably no, but all right. So do we need to do a separate motion to vote on the consent calendar?
The consent calendar was moved and seconded.
All right. So clerk will please call the roll on the consent calendar.
Mr. Snappy?
Yes.
Mr. Gilluise?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Kirby?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. Udo?
Yes.
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 All right, so now we'll do the first item removed. It's 2026-401 is now PCR 35-26. Councilman Lattiser.
Yes, Mr. President. The committee made a motion to send to the floor without a recommendation.
All right, and so there were two things going on in committee. One, there was a request to hold that didn't pass. It went 2-2, but there's also an issue as far as an amendment desired by the administration.
That's correct.
So do we want to do the amendment first and then someone can make whatever motion they want to make to hold?
It's fine. We can do the amendment first. And the amendment for PCR 35-26 was to add an additional vendor, which was DeAngelo.
All right. Motion was made to, well.
And move favorable action on the amendment.
All right. Is there a second? All right. Motion made and seconded. So is there any questions or comments regarding adding DeAngelo to this bid? All right, seeing none, clerk will please call the roll.
Mr. Snappy?
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Kirby?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. Muto?
Yes.
Mr. Napa?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
9 yes to amend.
All right, so now the bid stands before us. Amend it, PCR 35-26. So I assume you have a motion.
Mr. President, I'm going to make a motion to hold until the next meeting the first meeting in April 6th. And my reasons for doing such is exactly what I mentioned in the committee.
All right.
That I had submitted questions back in December that were pertinent to this item, have not received answers to those questions. And until such time as I do, I think that this should be held. I kept up my end of the bargain.
So first, is there a second? All right, seconded by Councilman Muto. And so I just want to make sure I'm clear as to what your questions were. So hold on one moment. I'll scroll accordingly here. All right, so regarding the bid documentation, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I very well may be, you wanted to know why the bid went over last time. Is that correct?
Just bear with me 1 minute and I'll get to it. Okay. So right now I can't put my fingers on it. It's in here somewheres. The first question was, why did DPW exceed the spending authority that was approved by...
You say recede? I'm sorry.
Exceeded.
Exceed. All right. Sorry.
And also, I requested a copy of all the invoices that resulted in that issue to come in where they overspent that particular budget or line item that was approved. And there were another four questions, which, as I said, I can't put my finger on right now, but they're all pertinent to, do we approve $1.5 million? Did they overspend $100,000, $200,000? What were the invoices? When did they occur? And that would have an impact on whether or not this amount of monies right here should be adjusted. Here it is. I got it right here. Please send me a copy of all invoices that led up to the DPW overextending its spending authority on street improvements. Further, what is the reasons for exceeding the spending authority of which was approved? Secondly, what monies remain in the line item that, if I recall correctly, began at $10 million? Is this overexpenditure a result of a gap between what DPW is paving spending and the delay from when we received their payment? Next question, what is the actual lead time from when we submit our request for reimbursement from RIDE and when we receive the monies from Rhode Island Energy. Next question, what is the process that is used to request this reimbursement? It seems that there may be a crossover from what spent and what is reimbursable in actually being reimbursed. And I didn't get any answers. And I asked again last week, and I still don't get any answers.
So your statement is that you received no response, basically, correct?
I'm sorry?
You received no response?
I have not received any answers to those questions. Yeah, that's all my right. That's my response.
Mayor?
First of all, none of that has anything to do with this bid. That has to do with last year's bid. On December 15th, all the invoices were sent to Councilman Lattiser. Questions came last Friday. We could answer those questions now, but again, it has nothing to do with this bid, which is before the council. We're trying to contract with these companies so we can get into their schedule. We can't delay. And as I said, it has nothing to do with this bid. That's what's before this council tonight.
Excuse me, Mr. President, through the chair to the mayor. Did you say those invoices were sent to me?
Councilman, on December 15th, I emailed you the FY 2025 Excel spreadsheet showing the expenses for the paving code as well as the FY 26 on as of December 15th.
So, Chief, when I sent you the email, I believe it was Friday, I noted on there that if I happen to miss it, could you please resend it?
I'm sorry, Councilman. I get a lot of emails. I was going to address it today, but you were started out saying you never received a response and didn't allow me a chance.
I asked the question on Thursday or Friday. If I also prefaced it by saying, if I missed it, okay, fine, shame on me, then just resend it. No response. I asked again this morning. I forwarded it again. I said, is there a response to this? And I didn't get a response.
Councilman, I do get a lot of emails, and I was in budget meetings.
I get a lot of emails too, Chief.
It's just one person at a time. Wait, one person finish before the other one.
We were going to address it this evening at the council meeting. Christy Moretti can answer the questions you asked.
The administration has required that I ask as many questions as possible before the meetings. Well, I'm asking them.
Correct. You asked on a Friday before a weekend.
Fine. Okay. Then never mind. I'll ask my questions when it's convenient for me.
Does anyone have any questions or comments regarding the current motion before us, which is a request to hold? Councilman Muto.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm going to support the motion to hold. Again, it's not just Councilman Lattiser, it's not just me, it is many of us on the City Council who we get selective answers for on our questions, and we always get put behind the eight ball with a bad decision or a worse decision. We need to stop this. We're spending $1.5 million at a time without real responses. So I will be supporting this and looking forward to the answers that come back to Councilman Lattiser.
Can everyone that doesn't get answers please raise their hand?
What did you say? I'm sorry.
I want to see all the councilmen that can't get answers to the administration raise their hand, because we were just accused of that. Thank you.
Councilman Gebhardt.
The way I look at it, this city has a few key responsibilities, which we endeavor to fulfill our obligations on: picking up the trash, plowing the snow, and keeping the roads paved. And so efforts to obstruct the core functions that the city delivers to its residents with their tax money does not seem like an exercise in anything positive to me. It is the time of year when we need to start paving. I'm not sure if folks have noticed, but the roads are falling apart from the winter storms. Rhode Island Energy is going to be out there doing work for many years. We've essentially followed Rhode Island Energy around and taken advantage of their dollars to pave more than we would otherwise if we went it alone. We need to keep the process moving forward so we can deliver the services that are expected of us, of the mayor, and of the city. And that's all I have to say about that.
Councilman Nepo.
Thank you, Council President. So just a couple of things. Councilman Lattiser, if your questions are truly not being answered, I agree with you, that's unacceptable, if that is in fact true. However, that being said, I recognize that there is an issue, there could be a potential issue there that you're bringing to the table, and I fully support you getting all of the answers you need. That being said, I think we also need to, as Councilman Gebhardt said, balance out what we need to do to keep this city running smoothly, though there may be some communication issues we need to address. I don't think we should hold this particular item hostage to address a possible breach or break in communication and an appropriate back and forth correspondence. So I think we should set that aside and deal with that as that issue is a standalone issue and approve the funding that we need to get the roads paved and up to an adequate level. I don't find that the item that's presented before us is outrageous compared to spending that we have had historically and what we're looking at driving around the city and the condition of the roads and the, I'm no expert, but when I look and say we got a lot of work to be done, I think it's a reasonable ask. I support the bid. I do not support the lack of or the breakdown in communication, but I do support this bid item. So I just want to make it clear that I am bifurcated on the issues that lay before us right now.
All right, so my own individual thoughts. I think Councilman Napa stole most of what I would have said. It is notable that due to the ridiculous weather we have, specifically the rather historic blizzard, the roads are actually in worse shape than they normally would be at this point because the plows, unsurprisingly, tore them up to a certain extent in an effort to pave or plow, which that's how it works. The plows inevitably tear up the road more. It's an unfortunate consequence. We definitely need the paving. There's no doubt in that. I think this discussion would be different if no response at all had taken place, or at least caveated, I should say. For both sides, Councilman Lattiser deserves a response to his questions, even if it's not happening, even if it's a negative. And at the other end of the spectrum, bear in mind that we recently were able to have everyone in agreement where we get the bid packages even sooner than we were before. So in order to make sure our questions are actually addressed, the sooner we can get them to the administration, the better. I know that's not always possible. I'm not pretending that it is. But just both sides should keep that in mind. And it doesn't really seem like a situation where the blame game would work here. I feel like everyone can see how this could have slash should have went on both ends of it. So I think it kind of speaks for itself. Councilman Foley.
Yes, I fully support what Councilman Gebhardt said. And since I see no new lights on, I call the question.
All right, question's been called. There are, in fact, no new lights on. So clerk will call the roll on the motion to hold.
Mr. Sinapi?
No.
Mr. DeLuise?
No.
Mr. Foley?
No.
Mr. Gebhardt?
No.
Mr. Kirby?
No.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. Muto?
Yes.
Mr. Napa?
No.
Mr. Rick?
Yes.
All right, do we have a motion?
Move favorable action.
Amended bid. Apparently there's a request for favorable action. Is there a second? As amended. Councilman Foley, Councilman Knapp, both second. Is there any discussion on the request for favorable action on the bid as amended? Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. President. So let me be clear. I did not ask to hold this as hostage. I asked to hold it as financial accountability, which I had not received. It had nothing to do with hostage. And by the way, I do agree with Councilman Gebhardt and the condition of the roads and council president, et cetera, et cetera. I do dodgeball around the potholes the same as all of us. This isn't about holding something hostage. It's about financial accountability. I will vote for this item because, as all of you, I'm getting inundated with phone calls, et cetera, about damage to the vehicles and potholes. And wait till DPW, they're probably already dealing with the influx of damages that are occurring. So that's my position. It's about financial accountability. It has nothing to do with hostage.
All right. Is there any further Councilman Ricks?
Thank you. I concur with Councilman Lattiser. I think that we need better communication here, especially on such a significant item, $1.5 million. It is core function. It is a core function of the city, and we have to have more information on multiple levels when it comes to the paving of the roads. So I'll likewise vote favorable action on this. That's all for now. I yield.
Councilman Foley. All right. There are, in fact, no new lights, so clerk will please call the roll.
Mr. Sanabian?
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Harvey?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. Muto?
Yes.
Mr. Napa?
Yes.
Yes.
All right, next is 2026-416, which is now PCR 36-26. My understanding is that this was pulled so that a member could recuse. But Councilman Lattiser?
That is correct, Mr. President. We have one member of the council that needs a recuse. So it was moved favorable action.
Motion for favorable action, seconded by Councilman Muto. Is there any discussion on the motion for favorable action on this item? Councilman Ricks, is your light just on from the last discussion? All right, yeah, figured. All right, so seeing no lights, clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Snappy?
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr.
Yes.
Harvey?
Yes.
Mr.
Lattiser? Yes.
Mr. Muto?
Yes.
Mr. Napa?
Yes.
Recuse.
All right, that brings us to unfinished business. PCO 13-25, an ordinance amending procedures relative to transfer of tax title to property. This is ordinance, so Councilman Napa.
Stand by. Okay, this was recommended for favorable action.
So for action, Councilman Napa.
Motion to move favorable action.
Is there a second?
Nobody?
All right, Councilman Foley, Councilman Ricks. All right, so discussion, Councilman Ricks.
Yeah, so I suppose that my main concern here is that this isn't fully developed, for lack of a better word. I think that it really opens the door to some potential issues with developers and with trolls. We've had some issues, some different items come up in front of the council where we've had neighbors coming in and complaining about what's happening on that land next door. Well, I guess we're going to see what happens if we put up about 1,000 of these pieces of land, make them so easily available, see what happens. It is concerning. I saw just one example here, a piece of land that the city possesses tax title to, which is potentially buildable, I don't know that for a fact, and I certainly haven't done a title search fully. I haven't looked into, okay, is there potential adverse possession claims? I haven't done any of that particular research, but I am familiar with that particular parcel, and it happens to be where the entry to the Patuxent River Walk is. Owned by the City of Warwick in tax title only. So there are a lot of different properties out there that we might be seeing issues to. And if we have such a simple process where it becomes a matter of, okay, all of these, they're up for grabs. Go ahead, just cut the check, fill out the form, show up. First come, first serve. Well, people are going to snap up some of these that maybe as a city we would rather not have subject to private development. So, I mean, I suppose that's up to us as to what direction we want to move forward in as a city. I also understand that we need to do something. Certainly, there's a lot of land that's been sitting there that, you know, say a neighbor has been using, and we can't just let certain situations continue on forever and not be collecting taxes. That's not fair to everybody else in the city. So I do agree some action is needed here, and there's always going to be pros and cons. So how much are we all comfortable that we have fully reviewed and fully understand this entire situation with 1,000 parcels across the city, and we're ready to deal with all of these possible implications? If we're comfortable with it, let's move forward. If we have some pause here, then maybe we want to give it a closer look. That's all. Thank you.
Councilman Lattister.
Thank you, Mr. President. I concur with many of the comments that Councilman Ricks has stated. I also have my own concerns as expressed in or put forth in the questions that I had asked earlier. I'm still not certain on the clarity of some of those, as well as concerns from several of my constituents that have with this particular change. In addition to were we initially voting on 1325, or were we voting on 1325 sub A? Clearly different items. So for that reason, I will be voting no on this item. Thank you, Mr. President.
Councilman Muto.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm not going to reiterate all the things that's wrong with this current piece of legislation. I will, at this time, be proposing several amendments to make it easy. My amendments are going to reflect the previous sub A that I'd like to bring into the for consideration. Yes, I want to bring back the sub A version because there was a lot of thought that went into that, and it answered a lot of questions, and it dissipated. So that's the amendment I'm going to bring to this.
So Councilman Muto has moved to bring forward what was previously identified as PCO 1325 proposed sub A as a formal amendment to replace the existing statute. Does anyone not have it in their binders or needs a moment for us to double back?
Based on the shuffling happening, we should give people a moment. While that happens, the administration, do you want to comment on the motion before us, which is the proposed survey.
So the administration, Bill Facenti, Chief of Staff, administration is against the sub A. One, we don't have it right now readily available to look at. There were a lot of, if I remember correctly, a lot of back and forths between abutting property owners' notice, the abutting property owners. Then if one person received, came in with money, then the notice went back to the abutting property owner and they got another chance at buying it. The council has asked and answered. The administration is willing to make amendments to this in the future if it does not work. We're trying to clean up and streamline the current ordinance to make sure that, you know, tax properties are disposed of and off of our books and back on the tax rolls. We're working with the land trust on various other properties. It's, I mean, there's no reason to go back to the sub A.
So Councilman Gephardt. All right, wait, hold on, I should. So wait, Councilman Muto, did you want to like explain your stance first? Because if so, I would go to you. Because it's your motion. So
yep, so my motion is because we did go, so the sub A, it answers several questions. Very high level, it maintains the balance and checks and balances within the ordinance. This new ordinance gives full rights to the treasurer and ultimately the mayor. The existing legislation has the checks and balances with council approval. This is all about the checks and balances and transparency. I can go through each one if you'd like. I could pull that up. But the goal is that there was conversations around all the other items. There was a very visceral reaction to the first time this came on the floor, which dictated a lot of the conversations that developed into sub A. And by the administration's own admission, this has been going on since 1973. If, you know, we should be thoughtful in our ordinances. We thought we were thoughtful in our ordinances through a process, and now we're retroing back to something that, quite frankly, most people on this council at the time had a visual reaction. So my stance is that the current PCO, that's 1325, is insufficient, and the sub A answers many of the questions and concerns of both council people and my and my constituents and myself. So that's why I'll be supporting it. I am definitely a no with the current ordinance, just because it's, you know, we know it's not perfect, and since this was going on since 73, I don't see a rush to do that. If people are uncomfortable with the sub A right now, we have plenty of time to review it again. So that's my position.
All right, so now Councilman Gephardt.
I'm not sure who can answer this, but is there something, so between 1325, the original, and the sub A, maybe this is for the administration or perhaps the city solicitor. Is there something in sub A that would have made it easier for the land trust to acquire a piece of tax title property compared to where now it is somehow more difficult?
And when you say now, do you mean 13-25?
Under 13-25.
So no, because right now the land trust is in the position of any other person or entity who might be interested in having tax title transferred to them. In an earlier question with regard to whether or not we are would be opposed to giving that same 10-day notice to the land trust as we do to the original property owner, the administration has no problem with that. It's simply give them notice.
Yeah, my understanding, at least in speaking with Ms. Austin, is that the land trust has been in possession of this list for many months, if not years, and has spent time to review the properties. Were it not for an absence of funding, They may be inclined to move on some of those properties. However, they've not come to this council and asked us for funding, asked us for assistance, asked us, told us, you know, we absolutely need this property. I mean, I think the land trust has the biggest jump on the entire universe in terms of folks who may look at these properties as they've been evaluating them over a long period of time, probably since 1965. In fact, given that our current stipulations are illegal, wouldn't that jeopardize their ability to take one of these properties, given that the process could be contested?
I would question the legality of any transfer that took place under the current ordinance on the books. No title company is going to pass on it, that's for sure.
Right.
But, you know, it just goes back to, we're trying to just make this a ministerial act, as simple as one paying their taxes, as simple as one paying the redemption price, and it's done administratively. Nothing higher, nothing lower, just what's owing to the city, trying to uncomplicate it, make it simple, like everyone else does. And again, I can't think of an example where this has been an issue where individuals have come before the council to say, I want this piece of property, and it's just a very cumbersome process. I don't know why. We're just trying to simplify it.
Well, thank you. Thank you for those efforts. I mean, obviously, large changes like this comes with questions, and I think that's all natural. But to me, back to layman's terms, we have the choice here is between continuing a process that's that doesn't comply with state law or apparently the Constitution, which is administratively burdensome, or to fix that problem, or I suppose a third option, which is the motion on the table now, which is to make it all the more bureaucratic in nature. It does not actually solve the problem that I think the proposed sub A purports to. So to me, this is a no on the amendment. This is a yes on PCO 1325, and let the city move on and try to clean up our tax rolls and put these properties back out into the world. Thank you.
Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. Pardon me losing my train of thought here for just a moment.
Oh, if you want, I can give it back. I can go to Councilman Napa first, because I just realized on my list you had already spoken. So I should go to people who haven't spoken yet.
Thank you.
Councilman Napa.
Thank you, Council President. Just some thoughts as I'm looking at the sub A. To be completely transparent, I haven't looked at the sub A in quite some time because I've been sort of engrossed in conversations with Ms. Austin and kind of investigating other avenues. I wasn't expecting this to kind of creep back up on us, so wasn't fully prepared with this. But as I look through it again, there's a lot of, and I sort of understand what we're doing here a little better, I think. Subsection, just make sure I'm quoting this right. It's B3 and B4 makes references to like transfers of deeds and restrictions on deeds. I'm not sure that these are appropriate to be in the sub A because what we're talking about is just transference of the tax title, not actual deed of ownership, because that deed would, once you own the tax title, then there's a process of the redemption through the Superior Court. And I'm by no means an expert in real estate law, but I'm not sure that the deed discussion or restrictions on deeds is even appropriate for us to be doing. I don't think we can confer that in any way via assignment of tax title. So that's sort of one thing that came to my attention. Some other issues that I'm looking at are the adjacent landowners, I think, giving deference to them. I understand the thought to that. However, when you're next to a vacant lot, any property owner is going to look into who owns that lot. And I believe, as Ms. Sheridan said earlier, that vacant lot's being squatted on by the adjacent landowners. And they, I believe, had the right to redeem it all of this time and didn't, because why would they come out of pocket for thousands and thousands of dollars and then have to go through Superior Court to actually have any ownership or right to possess that property rather than possess a tax title that could potentially lead to possession of said property in fee simple. I think it gives too much deference there. I have no issue with giving deference to the land trust, and I think the administration made it very clear that they don't either, but I think we're not we. I believe if I were to vote to approve this, it would be kind of giving too much deference to those adjacent landowners and making this process too cumbersome. So I think there are some issues. Councilor Muto, I completely understand why you're reviving this, but I think just a patent vote on sub A is going to be difficult. Like, I agree with some of it, right? But I can't sign on to the whole sub A. And to be frank, as I said, I haven't offered any suggestions to change the sub A because I was too busy doing work with Jane on the side of other things that she was trying to do in conjunction with what we're doing here. But there are some issues with the sub A in general. And I think this process does need to be streamlined. We need to do something, as Councilman Ricks said, but it needs to be appropriate. It needs to be streamlined. It needs to be less cumbersome. It needs to give deference, I think, to the land trust. And then one question I did have for the administration or for Mr. Osillo, the question that popped out of my brain, I remembered what it was. If someone comes forward to redeem a property under any of these ordinances, can the city decline the offer and choose to instead hold the tax title, basically keep it in a dormant state?
Yes, the very first sentence of the ordinance says the city treasurer in his or her discretion. So the answer is yes.
Okay, thank you for clarifying that. That was just something that I was thinking through. That's all that I have. I think we need to do something. I would like it to be simple and not cumbersome and give deference to the right folks rather than try to make sure that we're taking care of the adjacent landowners that had plenty of opportunity. Mr. Osillo, if you don't mind, one more question. Did I lose it? I think I lost it. I'm sorry, I keep making you get up.
I'm here.
All right, Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. Yeah, maybe it's just that we've already been in the meeting for how many hours? But anyways, my question has come back to me. So there's talk about the land trust being able to purchase some of these various properties. However, there's also the discussion of how for so many of these properties sitting there 30, 40 years, taxes not being paid, the amount becomes quite high. If I recall correctly, I think that in the last 10 years or so, every single year, the amount that is provided to the Warwick Land Trust, I believe it's always been under $1,000, if I recall correctly. That's been a key obstacle for the land trust, is that they simply are not budgeted any money to really buy anything. And that's why, well, aside from properties that are effectively deeded or otherwise transferred to the land trust, I don't think that there's much of a history there of them going out and buying property. So I'm a little bit confused as to exactly where's the money going to come from for the land trust to actually buy these different properties in order to preserve them. Is the city effectively going to be taking money from one hand and then giving it to the other? Is there an actual mechanism there, or is this just optimism that the land trust will find money somewhere?
This also doesn't even get into the fact that, as it stands, the land trust is not actually an entity in the city of Warwick, which is a separate issue that we eventually have to deal with. Councilman Knapp.
That was the question that I just lost. If the city solicitor wouldn't mind weighing in on can the land trust actually hold title to property? They're sort of allowed to by their founding documents, but because it's not an entity?
Yeah, it's not its own 501c3 separate organization, to my knowledge. I think it's just an unincorporated association. And therefore, like in many communities in Rhode Island, the land trust doesn't actually own the property. The underlying city or town would own the property.
Okay. So if there were properties that the land trust were desirous to hold, I guess, for lack of better terms.
Right, they hold and maintain and maybe develop pathways, we'll call it that type of stuff.
That would be an instance where the city could say, okay, no, we're not going to tender over assignment of tax title. The land trust is holding this. And
correct.
From my understanding, the city is desirous and on board with working with the land trust to kind of preserve those waterway pathways, conservation areas that are not DEM problems or anything else.
That is correct.
Okay.
Councilman DeLuis.
Okay, looks like we'll be here all night, but I have a question. So the way the ordinance law is written now, okay, it's illegal. It's not in, it doesn't go along with the other cities, states. Right. Okay, the other thing is, as it stands, as it's written now, say I wanted to redeem a piece of property and it was $10,000 for that particular tax title. After I pay the money and all the fines and interest and everything, what the next step to actually get the deed to the property is cumbersome. And would this new ordinance make that a lot easier for that person?
No.
It would still be as cumbersome?
Right, so it's a two-step process. You're referring now to the Superior Court action, which is foreclosing the right of redemption. Nothing we can do about that. That's a state law. It's very cumbersome. It takes a lot of money. This ordinance does not impact that. What this ordinance is trying to do is get rid of the cumbersome burden of going through multiple hoops to have the tax title transferred. The proposed ordinance simply says, if you meet the redemption price, the city treasurer ministerially can transfer the tax title.
As it stands right now?
No, in PC, the ordinance.
PCO 13-25?
The new one will make it
The new one
easier.
Will make it very simple. The amendment, the sub A, takes care of the legal issue. The sub A takes care of that legal issue. But the process of getting there is involved. And that's what we're trying to simplify. We're trying to get around that process because, again, the thought is it's a simple ministerial act. X amount is owed. If someone pays it, the treasurer should simply be able to transfer it, as opposed to, you know, the ordinance in sub A talks about this process that you go through and everyone who has to be notified in 30 days before this and 30 days after. It is a cumbersome process.
So this new ordinance would simplify all of that.
Okay. Extreme. It become as easy as someone paying their taxes. You owe this amount, you pay it to the tax collector. Same thing here. To transfer the tax title, the redemption amount is X amount. You pay it to the treasurer, you get the tax title. It's that simple.
To add to that, Councilman, there's nothing to stop the city council if something is not working in the future from amending this at any time. Councilman Ricks, I wanted to respond to you when you said it would be like the city using their own money. It would be. That's exactly what it would be. But I agree with Councilman Knapp. The sub A is very cumbersome. It's going to complicate the process. We're trying to simplify.
And I don't remember who mentioned it from administration, but was there a statement regarding that there's thousands or a thousand of these properties just hanging out right now?
Approximately 1,400.
All right.
Plus or minus in various states of tax title.
All right. Yeah. So my own 2 cents for whatever they're worth. I have a large concern with our capacity as a city council to handle 1,400 plus of these all at once, because what we're used to seeing is like, hey, somebody wants a zoning exemption. We're not used to seeing 100 or hundreds or over 1,000 all at once. I like the idea, like in concept, a more involved process might work when there's not 1,000+ in the queue. Because that's, I was just talking about us being able to handle it, let alone the administration being able to handle it all at once. It kind of brings me back to my prior point where it seems like there's two separate issues. One, bringing our ordinance up to make it lawful. And then two, if we want to do changes to it, that can be a prospective thing down the line, which would also give people not only time to wrap their minds around the full extent of this, but also to give the administration time to work on that queue so that we can actually have a substantive conversation as to what we want to do. Because we, unfortunately, whether we like it or not, that's the one of the main limiting factors. There's just too many of these things backed up. So we can't have the conversation that you want to have and the potential changes that you want to do because we likely wouldn't be able to do them. And separately, I haven't heard anything that suggests why Warwick has to handle this differently than the other cities and towns. So the non-sub A said, hey, we can handle it this way. Most of the other city and towns do, and they don't have an issue. I haven't heard anything tonight that says, yeah, but Warwick's different. Here's why. So we have to do it differently. Granted, if it goes the way I hope it does, where we decline the sub A, pass the original as it stands, and then later on say, hey, you know what? We get rid of that queue. We can now change it. That's when we can actually have a good conversation on the merits. Like, Warwick's different. Here's how, now that we've gotten through the backlog. And until then, it seems premature. Not ill intent, though. It makes sense to handle it right and as best we can. It just, the situation we're in doesn't allow for the more idealistic view that you've presented with the sub A. But there are no, oh wait, there's one light on. Councilman Foley?
No new lights. I call the question.
All right. Clerk will call the roll on the proposed amendment.
Mr. Sinapi?
No.
Mr. DeLuise? Mr. Foley?
No.
Mr. Gephardt?
No.
Mr. Kirby?
No.
Mr. Lattisa?
Yes.
Mr. Muto?
Yes.
Mr. Napa? No. Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Three yes. No. Motion fails.
All right. Now it stands before us is in its original form. However, there's no motion. Councilman Napa.
I'd like to propose an amendment that the administration said they were not opposed to provide notice to the land trust at the same time as providing notice with the property owner. Actually, two amendments. I'm not sure if I should do them separately or together.
First item was notice to the land trust. What was the second item? I couldn't really hear.
I didn't say the second item yet. So notice to the land trust at the same time as the 10-day notice to the property owner.
And just so I understand, any
second amendment would be also relative to the land trust, that on a quarterly basis, or I'm not sure how it would be worded. I'm hoping that the council can flesh it out. Quarterly basis, or as properties come up, that land trust is noticed of new properties that come into possession of tax title, so that the city can then work with them to decide if that's a property they don't want to offer out as tax title or something to that nature. Where this is where I think it needs work, right? Like we have to do something, but we need to flesh it out.
So the first one may be easier. Let's take that in the silo. Your interest here is to provide that concurrent with the notice, the 10-day notice that's done under the statute, that the land trust be provided the same notification?
Yeah, I think my two priorities on this item are, one is to streamline it to make it easier to get these properties off the books, and two is to give deference to the land trust to make sure that they have the ability to communicate effectively with the administration, have appropriate notice of these properties, and to weigh in as if we need to protect these and conserve them in a conservation effort.
If I may comment on that,
sure.
No problem with that at all. The only caveat would be the original property owner needs to get notice by certified mail. I request that we give notice to the land trust, but not have to do it by certified. That just doesn't make sense. It does make sense for the property owner because they have to be located, they have to be found, et cetera. But for the land trust, if we just leave it at notice or reasonable notice, I'd appreciate that.
That's would electronic suffice?
Electronic would.
That works. This being, I guess, Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. President. No, we fully support both of those amendments.
And you're fine with the
Yes. As we reported, Kyler, do you want to weigh in on that?
What's that?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's just saying that we have no problem. I understand the issue. As new tax titles come up, the land trust may not know of their availability. We do not have a problem on a quarterly basis giving them notice.
So perhaps the two amendments then would be to give electronic notice to the land trust in conjunction with certified notice to the landowner. And amendment two would be that the land trust receives quarterly updates as to newly acquired tax title properties.
Do we want to treat them together, considering that it's a friendly amendment for all intents and purposes?
We can certainly workshop the specific language, if everyone's comfortable, also given that this is a first passage item, the details could always get finalized. But the first language would be essentially a subsequent section that to the existing language that says that the treasurer shall give electronic notice to the land trust at the same time that they provide the statutory obligations more or less with the landowner. Yeah, and that's essentially the goal there would be to say give the land trust one last objection moment to and say like, hey, let's not actually transfer that. And the second piece we could try, and if everyone wants to, as one amendment, is that the land trust receives quarterly notices. And what is the content specifically that you're looking for? Receive quarterly notices of any newly acquired tax title by the city. Of newly acquired tax titles. Okay. We can try discussion as one amendment if folks are.
Chief?
Bill Facente. So the city only would acquire, if they were to acquire a tax title property, after a tax sale. And that happens annually. And we haven't taken a tax title property since 2013.
Okay. So then.
I mean, the quarterly, I mean, it's fine, but there's not going to be much.
If it doesn't make sense, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
And only after that, what's the timeline of?
Sometimes we have them annually, sometimes we don't. So I would just say after a tax sale, the city will notice the land trust of any acquired.
Newly acquired.
Tax title property.
Okay. Newly acquired. I'm fine with any of that.
So revising it that rather than quarterly notice, it will just be a requirement that after a tax sale, the land trust be advised.
Any newly acquired tax title property shall be
newly acquired by the city.
Newly acquired by the city. City will electronically notify the land trust of any newly acquired tax title properties. Something to that extent.
Okay.
All right. Is there a second to the proposed amendment? Councilman Foley, Councilman Ricks, both second. All right. Discussion regarding the proposed amendments. Councilman DeLuise.
No, I had about 10 questions I want to ask. No, just kidding. I have one question. So when a person pays the taxes that are due, say it's $10,000, they get that tax title. Doesn't that revert back to the original property owner? Even if someone pays that off, doesn't it the title revert back to the original owner?
It would.
That's what I was to understand.
No, it does not revert back to the original owner. The original owner still owns the underlying title until that original owner's right to foreclose, until the original owner is prevented to do so by this process called foreclosing the right to redemption.
Okay, but they still have the right to that property.
Absolutely. Until there's a Superior Court entered, an order entered that says the right to redemption is hereby foreclosed forever, the original property owner can always come back and either redeem from the city or from you or I if we happen to own the tax title. And
right,
once that right of redemption is foreclosed, it's only at that point that the original taxpayer or the original owner loses title.
Okay. Thank you.
Does anyone else have any questions or comments regarding the proposed amendments? Seeing none, clerk will please call the roll.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Kirby?
Yes.
Mr. Lattisa?
Yes, on the amendment.
Mr. Muto?
Yes.
Mr. Napa?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
9 yes, amendment passes.
All right, PCO 13-25 now stands before us as amended. Does anyone have any questions or comments regarding it as amended? Seeing none, clerk will please call the roll. Can we call the roll or do we need a new motion?
Motion.
All right, we need a new motion first.
Motion to move favorable action as amended.
Seconded by Councilman Foley. All right. Now I should ask, does anyone have any questions or comments regarding PCO 13-25 as amended? All right. Clerk will please call the roll on the request for favorable action on that.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Kirby?
No.
Mr. Lattisa?
No.
Mr. Muto?
No.
Mr. Napa?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
No.
All right, next we have PCR 32-26, 2026-131, repairs to H116. Councilman Lattice.
That PCR 32-26 was moved favorable with an amendment.
All right, so for action, Councilman Lattice.
Move favorable action on PCR 32-26 with an amendment.
Seconded by Councilman Muto, and then now back to you regarding that proposed amendment.
I will defer to the council solicitor.
The amendment is to correct the PCR in two ways. One is in the amount that you see currently that says the award is $3,113.49. The amendment is to reduce that amount to be $2,360.07. We would also need to amend the corresponding note one that you see on that, reducing the $30,237.09 to be $29,483.67. That is the amendment.
All right. Is there a second for that amendment? Councilman Foley seconds. All right. Any questions or comments regarding the proposed amendment? Seeing none, clerk will please call the roll.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Kirby?
Yes.
Mr. Lattisa?
Yes.
Mr. Muto?
Yes.
Mr. Napa?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
9 yes to amend.
All right, it now stands before us as amended. Councilman Lattisa?
Move favorable action on PCR 32-26 as amended.
Seconded by Councilman Muto. Are there any questions or comments on PCR 32-26 as amended? Seeing none, clerk will please call the roll.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Kirby?
Yes.
Mr. Lattisa?
Yes.
Mr. Muto?
Yes.
Mr. Napa?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
9 yes, motion passes.
All right, next is PCO 3-26, an ordinance establishing a financial oversight commission. This is, the request is to hold till April 6th. Is there any objection? Seeing none, so held. Next is PCO 4-26, an ordinance amending Chapter 56 of the Code of Ordinances relative to small purchases. This is Finance, Councilman Lattisa.
I will defer to the Council Solicitor. I move favorable action on PCO 4-26.
Is there a second? Seconded by Councilman Muto. And then now there's a proposed amendment that Councilman Lattisa wants to do, so Solicitor.
Councilman Lattisa moves an amendment. It is the same language being inserted in the same place in the same way that the entire item is being amended. The basic amendment currently says $5,000 or $10,000 for construction. In all of these places, we are adding after the word construction, as defined in Rhode Island General Laws, Section 4555-4. So it is tying the state statutory definition that was discussed at the committee that gives the that sets the rules of what it can be used for as relates to the construction higher threshold.
All right. So that's your motion, Councilman Lazar?
That's my motion.
All right. Is there a second? Councilman Muto? All right. Any discussion on PCO 4-26 is the proposed amendment? Seeing none, clerk will please call the roll.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Kirby?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. Muto?
Yes.
Mr. Napa?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
9 yes to 2 amend.
All right, PCO 4-26 stands before us as amended. Councilman Lattiser.
Move favorable action on PCO 4-24 as amended.
4-26.
4-26, I'm yep. sorry, as amended.
That was the second. All right, seconded by Councilman Muto. Are there any questions on PCO 4-26 as amended? Seeing none, clerk will please call the roll.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise? Yes. Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Kirby?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Muto?
Yes.
Mr. Napa?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
9 yes, first passage.
All right, next is PCO 5-26, an ordinance amending section 64-5 of the Code of Ordinances relative to the compensation of other officials. This is the recommendation is to hold till April 6th. Other, oh, sorry.
Could we just ask to be to held to the second meeting in April so that we give the solicitor time to work on the amendment?
Is there any objection to holding this to the, oh, I'm just getting the actual date.
It's April 26th.
April 27th?
27th.
All right, seeing no objection, so held. Well, hold on. Still good with it?
Yes, all right. April 27th.
All right, so help. So April 27th. Next, we have PCO 8-26, an ordinance establishing a real estate non-utilization tax. Recommendation was to hold till April 6th. Any objection to that? Seeing none, so help. Next is PCO 22-25, an ordinance prohibiting camping on public property. The recommendation was to hold till June 15th. Is there any objection to that? So held. And next, in unanimous consent, Councilman Lattiser has a request regarding PCO 4-26 sub A.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. After discussion with the purchasing agent and myself, we are respectfully requesting to have this PCO 4-26 on the next meeting of April 6th for second passage.
Any objection for that? All right, seeing none, let it
Thank
be
you.
So. Does anyone else have anything for unanimous consent?
Seeing there is no further business before this honorable body, I move to a docketing session.
All right. Ward 1?
Pass.
Ward 2?
Pass.
Ward 3? Ward 4. Ward 5.
Pass.
Ward 6.
Pass.
Ward 7.
Pass.
Ward 9. All right. So I have two ones on behalf of the mayor. Ordinance in regards to amending section 311.3.E, historic zone change. It's a proposed ordinance. Please hold. We'll go to public properties. And then now the other one on behalf of the mayor. One moment. All right, we settled upon board cleanup. Ordinance. All right, City Council concludes at 9:35 p.m.